Atheist Nomads, episode 120, news for November 12, 2015.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
We are the Atheist Nomads, bringing you history, science, politics, religion, and interviews with leaders in the atheist community. Not all those who wander are lost. Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin. Joining me as always is Wesley.
Hello, everybody.
And joining us once again is my lovely wife, Lauren Studley, back from the grave of a migraine.
Yes, I am trying so hard to not talk like a robot right now, but I promised. Hi, everyone.
She's been on the show enough now that I got her a actual proper boom mic stand with a suspension shock mount and studio headphones.
The headphones make me look like a robot.
Yeah. Is the boom made of metal?
The boom is all up in here.
All right, that's enough robot talking.
Ah, oh, come on. People demand it.
No, they don't.
Okay.
We got a post on our Facebook page about the disclaimer before the intro.
Yay, input.
And this is from Pat Miller. Despite your warnings at the start of each episode, there seems to actually be very little talking about hoo-haws. Now, we had created that to replace the really, really long one that Paul from Chronify Me did when we recorded with him and a bunch of other podcasters when I was last in the Puget Sound. And that was because he'd complained about his daughter getting to listen to a discussion about, as I recall, it was a lot of oral stuff in that region.
And,
in the region of hoo-haws?
Yeah. And around the other side.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That's all right. Some people like the Black Door play. It's all right.
And so we've worked out a few other options, and we're going to put this up to a vote. If you want to get logged in with the vote, email us at contact@atheistnomads.com and tell us what you want. Option number one is the current existing one with the hoo-haws.
Hoo-haws.
Downside of that one, of course, is that we don't actually talk about hoo-haws that often.
Hoo-haws.
So it ends up being, you know, a little bit misleading and might get people's hopes up.
Hoo-haws.
So we've got option number two.
That is true. It did get my hopes up.
Option number two. The podcast you're about to listen to has an explicit tag for a goddamn reason. Please be advised.
Option three.
The podcast you're about to listen to covers topics that may not be appropriate for children or Dustin's parents. Please be advised. Hi, Mom.
One nice thing with that one is my parents apparently do listen, so.
Oh, no.
And then option number four.
The podcast you're about to listen to may not be appropriate for all audiences. If you fit in that category, kindly fuck off. Please be advised.
So send us an email, contact@atheistnomads.com with your choice between options 1, 2, 3, and 4, and these will also be able to be found on the show notes at atheistnomads.com/120.
Might I also suggest, you know, if you think of something better, go ahead and email those suggestions or post them to the Facebooks.
All right, and now we're going to move into our special topic for today. We're going to be talking about Adventists and science. This is one that's been brought up into the news, thanks to Ben Carson, presidential candidate, current Republican frontrunner, famed, like, absolutely amazing neurosurgeon, and Seventh-day Adventist. So to put this in some context, and I've mentioned this first little bit maybe a few times before, there are 18.1 million Adventists around the world, and approximately 1 million in the U.S. There are 175 hospitals owned by the Adventist Church around the world, 136 nursing homes, 5,714 primary schools, 1,969 secondary schools, 113 colleges, university, and trade schools, including at least 10 in the U.S. They have their own medical school, Loma Linda University Medical School, and there may be some elsewhere in the world, but Loma Linda is the one that's important. And the church also has a department within the General Conference called the Biblical Research Institute. They exist to do theological study, apologetic research, and one of their big tasks throughout the years has been to support creationism. The Adventist Church is very big on creationism. Recently, I believe this was last year, the General Conference president, so the head of the World Church, was at a conference and said that anybody who works for the Adventist Church who accepts evolution should be fired.
Nice.
To put this in some context, every Adventist college has science programs. Some of them have rather large science programs. My own alma mater, Walla Walla, had the third largest major was biology. Most of those biology students were going on to medical school. Well, about half were. The other half were going more the academic route. But there's a lot of biology programs. And I happen to know at pretty much every Adventist college, they teach evolution in the biology classes. You can't teach biology without evolution.
But you can't ignore it.
Now, there are some professors who would probably say, this is not what the church believes, or this is not what I believe, but they do cover it. In Adventist high schools, they sometimes cover it. Mine did not. My teacher skipped it and moved on to the next chapter in our state-mandated textbook. She went to high school with my mom, and at Jim State Academy in Idaho in the 1960s, they did teach evolution. They said that this is wrong. We don't believe this, but they taught it. And what you end up having is a whole bunch of people with a whole lot of cognitive dissonance. And this is something that, at least when you go through the Adventist educational system, you have people explaining to you how to navigate that dissonance. So you have assistance in figuring out how to balance what you're learning as scientific fact versus what you believe when they are in complete opposition. In the case of Carson, he went to secular schools all the way through. So he didn't get that Adventist education where they were telling him, this is what science thinks, this is what we believe. And he got to go through the cognitive dissonance on his own. And I kind of have a feeling that might be part of why he's having such a hard time talking about reality. Now, there also is just some other weird balancing between reality and theology that Adventists do. They are quite skeptical as far as most things go, except for creationism and, you know, a handful of other pet things, like any kind of spiritual stuff going on. They are very skeptical of that, any claims like that. They are highly skeptical of any kind of a ghost story. They are, at least in the U.S., skeptical of anything involving claims of demonic possession. Out in the mission field, they have a very different view, where they will actually treat mental illness with exorcisms. Kind of sad that they do that, but yeah, you know, that's what they do. They try to balance the two, and it is very difficult to be a skeptic who believes in fairy tales.
But you can be a skeptic that believes in exorcisms.
Again, fairy tales.
All right.
Yeah, they try to balance it as well as they can. They try to draw on science as much as they can, as long as it fits with what they believe. We do have a story coming up where the Adventist Church, looking at the science, has basically changed some of their beliefs, or at least guidance on how to believe and act, while not actually changing anything. And so it's just an interesting thing to keep in mind, especially with Ben Carson. That guy.
Not that guy.
Oh, man. Holy shit.
Did you know that the Colosseum was actually a dinosaur pen?
That's where they kept their pet T-Rexes.
That's right.
I mean, the guy's a brilliant neurosurgeon. There's no doubt about that. He's just a dope.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody is allowed to be a dope in their own way. They just don't have any right running for president.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with history.
Atheist Nomads is proudly brought to you by Archway Hosting. Check out their low-price, full-featured hosting solutions at archwayhosting.com. That's ARCHWAY hosting.com.
Hey, were also brought to you by listeners just like you. Find out how you can become a patron at patreon.com/atheistnomads. That's patreon.com/atheistnomads. This day in history, November 12th, starting with the year 1934. Charles Manson, the American cult leader and murderer, was born. So everybody knows the dude that has the crazy eyes and the swastika on his forehead. Yeah, he was born today. Moving on along.
Making fun of him is an American pastime.
It really is. Nothing really needs to be said about, you know, crazy eyes. Moving on along. This day in history. The year is 1954. And this one is kind of sad. I didn't even know this was a thing. Ellis Island closes. I actually kind of thought that Ellis Island was still open and, like, welcoming people. But I guess not.
But it's just a museum at this point.
Yeah, there's part of me that knew that it wasn't running anymore, but at the same time, I was not aware of it closing. Like, they didn't, I never
officially closed. Yeah. Huh. Back in 54, I mean, not even like Kennedy wasn't even the president yet. Fuck. But Ellis Island, totally, like, it was the gateway to America. You know, it processed over 12 million immigrants since opening in 1892. And supposedly, about 40% of all Americans can trace their roots through Ellis Island at some point in time, which is fucking crazy.
It's like all those genealogy people who are obsessed with tracking themselves to the Mayflower.
Yeah. Well,
I can trace an ancestor back to the Mayflower.
Yes, you have ancestors on the Mayflower.
One.
One.
One ancestor.
And they ended up in Jersey.
Yeah.
Well, yes. Ellis Island, famous also for the fact that they didn't turn very many people away.
Well, I mean, if you made it on the boat, yeah, they're probably not going to kick you back.
Well, probably not. But I mean, nowadays they turn people away all the time. But no, something like what? 2-3% that ever got turned away. It was pretty cool.
Wow. In World War I, it was a enemy detention center.
Welcome to America!
And so a hospital for wounded soldiers in World War II.
And they processed their first person on January 2nd, 1892. The first was a 15-year-old girl named Annie Moore. She was from Ireland.
I bet her family is proud.
I bet her family's dead. Oh, boy. All right. We'll just move it on along here.
Some more hilarious stories.
Oh yeah, this one is just explosively funny. That's the best I got for that. Yeah, so this day in history, 1970, the Oregon Highway Division attempts to destroy a rotting beach sperm whale with explosives, leading to the now infamous exploding whale incident. Yeah. And this is as bad as it sounds, everybody.
Sperm everywhere.
8 tons of sperm. Holy shit. November 12th, a 45-foot long, 8-ton sperm whale beached itself in Florence, Oregon, which, you know, coastal city and, you know, anyways.
Sand dunes.
Sand dunes, yeah. You know, I'm sure we have, like, some non-American listeners. And I'm sure that a lot of our American listeners don't know where Oregon is either, so fuck it.
And to explain why it was the highway division that did this, the beach is an Oregon State Highway.
Hmm. That is awesome.
So you can legally drive anywhere that it's not explicitly forbidden or impossible.
Just run over that whale.
Well, yeah, so they got a 0.5-ton of dynamite, attached it to the carcass. And you had sperm whale flying over 800 feet in the air in all directions. So, ew.
That would have smelled so bad.
I mean, it already smelled bad.
I mean, I would have paid good money to go see that, though. He's like, yup, I got some of the famous exploding whale on me here. I got the oil. Got the oil stain here on my shirt.
That it's the Navy told them to handling it the same as they would a boulder.
That was stupid. Organic matter is messy, not like a boulder, which is shrapnel-y and still not a great idea.
Yeah, but then, you know, scavengers come clean it up.
Well, there was actually a military person that had explosives training that, you know, had heard about what was going to go on. And when he heard that 20 cases were being used, he was in complete disbelief, of course. You know, like 20 sticks maybe, but not 20 cases.
Can you imagine the highway district? They were like, oh my God, yes, pull all strings. Let's get as much dynamite in here as possible, guys. We're never going to be allowed to do this again.
Yeah. Yeah, this is something where somebody said, hold my beer.
Yes.
So this is great.
Oh, never forget.
Exploding sperm whale. The resulting explosion was caught on film, and an actual a popular political comic of the time, you know, just turned this into the exploding whale thing, and it just, you know, it became like newspaper famous for quite a while, you know, before you had internet famous. But luckily, you can still go to the YouTubes and find this video. So, and I really suggest you do.
Oh, wow. You know, and yeah. I said that the beaches in Oregon were state highway. That's not the case anymore. And the beaches are now run by the Parks Department. And they bury whales. And if they can't bury them where they're at, they move them to another beach and bury them.
You'd think they could just like push them back in. Let them float off.
No, they just keep washing back up. Whales float.
Yeah, but okay, fine. Like shoot a stick of dynamite into its tummy and then like, you know, push it out, let it float, and then remote detonate it when it's like, you know, 50 feet out or something.
Oh my God, that would be so much fun too. There were so many good ways to end this. They just chose one of the good ways.
They chose the best way.
They chose the best way. It was the most accessible to the public because everything within 800 feet got sprayed. It's like SeaWorld gone horribly, horribly wrong.
That is not the splash zone you want to be in.
Okay. Well, yeah, nobody want. Well, I suppose some people do want sperm on their face, but that's a different story. Hi, Dustin's mom and dad. Yeah, so moving on along.
Yeah, from one stupid thing done in Oregon to a stupid just person a stupid from Oregon. Person.
Yeah. And this is getting a drive-by also. This day in history, 1970. Tonya Harding, the American figure skater, is born. So everybody remembers the blonde non-bombshell that knocked Nancy Kerrigan in the kneecap. Well, actually paid somebody else to do it, but yeah, still.
Whose boyfriend knocked her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She was a really good figure skater. I actually got to see her.
Oh, no doubt.
Just practicing once at one of the malls in Portland. I don't remember which one it is exactly, but it has a skating rink inside.
Well, she was like really poor and she actually ended up having to practice in the mall all the time. That was mm-hmm. that was kind of her practice field. Excuse me, her practice field. Kerrigan, on the other hand, the silver spoon kind of girl, always had her private lessons and all that. But, you know, if somebody's Olympic quality or at least contending to go to the Olympics, of course they're going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
So no doubt, I'm sure she was pretty fucking good. Oh yeah. Anyways, yeah, let's keep going. Blah 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 blah. This day in history, 1993, the first UFC fighting championship, UFC 1, is held in Denver. So yeah, this later became known as the beginning. Oh.
Yeah, and I think you can actually track the degradation of American society back to that date.
It's pretty close. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, early days of pay-per-view and all that. Yeah. Boy, that is actually when the Gracies started getting known for their fighting skill, and they're the ones that brought MMA to mainstream America, I would say. But, yeah. Anyways, I got nothing really good to say about it. But hooray, Octagon.
It happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a thing.
Two men enter, one man leave.
People beating the shit out of each other on camera is a thing, unfortunately.
Master Blaster runs Barter Town.
All right, the next one's better. Go to the next one.
All right. This is not my robot voice. This day in history, the year is 2014. The Philae lander deployed from the European Space Agency's Rosetta probe and soft lands on the surface of Comet 67P Chernyumov-Cherepinenko. I nailed that shit.
Nailed it.
Yeah,
nailed
when it. I reported on this a year ago, I just called it 67P.
I went full, like...
Chernyumov-Gerasimenko.
You're off by a mile.
Totally.
Sorry.
Anyway. Awesome! Yay, I remember that happening!
Yeah.
It was a year ago.
Already a year, yeah. Unfortunately, it landed on the wrong side of the comet, so it had to operate on battery power as long as it could, and yeah, unfortunately, no sunlight for now. So maybe the comet will rotate in some day, and we'll start getting signals again. But
it was back up from June 13 to July 9.
Yeah, no, it totally got some usable data, which was cool. But yeah, for now.
I mean, when I think about the mathematical calculations that they have to do to get something out of orbit in a direction and then soft landing on something, how did they mess up the side of the comet?
two bullets.
You had one job, Jerry. One job. The sunny side.
You got like two bullets hitting each other at, you know, thousands and thousands of miles per hour.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In two different directions.
Which, you know, also give them credit for actually doing it in the first place, because that's exactly what it is. It's shooting two bullets in air and managing to hit. But come on, Jerry. Drop the ball.
But yeah, you know what? I'll give them a pass. I mean, at least they didn't like crash it into it like they have with other, you know, probes.
Yeah, we got some super creepy, spooky looking pictures out of it, too.
So, some of the goals of the mission focused on elemental, isotopic, molecular, and mineralogical composition of the cometary material. And, yeah, that most of that pretty much just didn't happen. But, yeah, we got some cool pictures.
It's all about the selfie. Even in science.
That's really all there is to it. We don't have much until the comet rotates.
Okay. All right, we're going to take another quick break, and then we'll be back with science. We love hearing from our listeners. You can email us at contact@atheistnomads.com, tweet us @atheistnomads, send us a message on our Facebook page at facebook.com/atheistnomads, or better yet, call us and leave us a message at 541-203-0666. We might even play it on the show. You can also help us out by leaving us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast directory of choice.
Hey friends, this is Callie Wright from the Gaytheist Manifesto podcast, your source for news, commentary, discussion, and debate at the intersection of the atheist movement and the LGBT rights movement. I'm sure I don't have to explain to you that there are many atheists and many members of the LGBT community who don't have a family gathering to go to on Thanksgiving. We are often uninvited, or at the very least made to feel unwelcome by our families because of who we are, who we love, or our lack of belief. If you don't otherwise have a place to go the evening of Thanksgiving this year, please consider joining us for a special live show the evening of Thanksgiving from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. We'll be joined by special guests including JT Eberhard and David Smalley, and we'll be taking your calls, tweets, and emails about your family experiences and just hanging out and having a good time with our family here. You have a community out here that cares about you. Come hang out with us. Find out more at facebook.com/thegaytheistmanifesto.
If that had Sarah McLachlan playing in the background, I would have cried.
And then you would have probably like supported the cats and dogs.
Yeah. It's like, I will make you turkey. Come eat my pie. No. Careful, Lauren.
We're not talking about hoo-haws.
Hoo-haws. Okay. Speaking of not talking about hoo-haws, science and technology. Because hoo-haws are not mentioned in this particular time. So this week is a cancer triple header. We've got one of the most interesting examples of parasitic disease immunity conflicts that has ever been known to happen. There was a 41-year-old Colombian man who was diagnosed with HIV 10 years ago. He has not been taking medication. He started feeling ill, so he went to his doctor. He shows up with fever, cough, weight loss. This is all very typical of HIV AIDS. So when that happens, you check everything, because once the immune system starts going, anything can happen. They did a CT scan and they found tumors in his lungs and his lymph nodes. But when they were looking at the cells that they pulled out of the tumorous regions, the cells were tiny, like super tiny, like 10 times smaller than a typical human cell. This is weird. That is really weird. So they ran a couple tests, did a DNA test, and found that it actually matched up with the H. nana tapeworm. They checked. The guy had a tapeworm. Because the tapeworm was in basically an already immunocompromised system, it's basically like a super parasite. And from what I read, probably lived a little bit longer than normal parasites do. And it got cancer. Poor little thing.
Aww.
But then it metastasized, and the cancer spread from the parasite to the host. And this guy literally had little teeny tiny tumors all over his body. When they finally figured out what happened, he died about 72 hours after they found out it was the tapeworm. Unfortunately, because he was HIV positive, there was probably no way that they could have prevented it or cured it. With typical tapeworm fixing medications, it probably would have killed him because of his HIV status. I do not suggest you do what Dustin's brother does and drink a whole bottle of tequila.
It was whiskey.
A whiskey to kill the tapeworm. I don't think anybody would have been able to survive that. I don't know how the man survived that. Certainly an HIV positive person probably would have enjoyed that more than...
A bottle of whiskey's not that bad.
Yeah.
Depends on the whiskey.
Depends on the whiskey. Yeah. But it did give them a whole new area of research into tapeworms, how they affect hosts, especially if those hosts are immunocompromised. So hopefully they'll be able to come up with some interesting treatments from that. The second cancer news.
I'm sorry. I just have to say that getting tapeworm cancer is gross. Even worse than just having a tapeworm.
I know, but as a microbiologist's point of view, those cancer cells would have been so cute.
But it's so crazy. It's like seriously like triple kicking somebody when they're down.
Right?
Yeah.
He's got HIV. He gets a tapeworm and it gives him freaking cancer.
Yeah.
That is nuts.
Teeny tiny little cancer. Yeah, metastasizing.
Oh man,
got into the lymph nodes, got into the lungs.
And tapeworms are so common in areas where HIV is just going out of control without appropriate treatment. Typically,
Africa,
parts of Latin America, etc. So this probably happens frequently. This is just the not rare, but it probably happens. This is probably just the first time it's ever actually been identified.
And made it into an actual article, journal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure people have looked at the cell cancer cells before and they're like, well, that's weird, but just wrote it off as something weird. Never thinking, wow, that's weird. Let's do a DNA test on it. I mean, who would have even thought of that? The second article we have today is the one that I am most excited about. This was just recently... brought to news. Dustin here went back to the CTV News article, which is a Canadian news agency. And Dr. Maine Prize is head researcher at Sunnybrook Health Science Center in Canada, who was working on malignant glioma. And for those of you not in the know, glioma is a type of cancer that affects the brain cells. All right, so basically impossible to treat because there's this protective saran wrap like barrier called the blood-brain barrier. Nothing gets through it. They have to usually surgically go into the brain, and that is incredibly dangerous and not worth the risk most of the time. Well,
especially with a glia, which it spreads out like a web throughout the brain. So you can't cut away enough of it to do anything without killing the person.
Exactly. Whenever you see pictures of neurons creating like a huge web, that's what they are talking about.
So the way this works is they inject the patient with the chemotherapy, and then they inject them with these harmless gas microbubbles. And then once they see that has all gotten to where the tumor is, they hit it with a very high-powered, very highly directed ultrasound This excites the bubbles, so they start vibrating really fast, and that just shreds the blood-brain barrier, allowing the medication to pass, which it did. They had chemical markers on the medicine, so they were able to actually see it going into the tumor.
So this is the first time in your history that they've been able to get past the blood-brain barrier. Within 12 hours, the blood-brain barrier recovers, and later that day, they can do surgery and remove the bulk of the tumor and see how much of the medicine actually made it through. As of right now, there are 9 more patients on the docket to get this treatment, and they will publish results, and we're hoping that this is going to be a brand new turnover in brain medicine.
Yeah. There's also a breast cancer researcher at Sunnybrook that is interested in using this for some of her patients who have a particular type of breast cancer that metastasizes into the brain.
Very cool.
Mm.
And finally, on our last little cancer extravaganza here, we are going to talk about GMOs, kind of. There was a girl who's recently been cured of leukemia by genetically modified T cells. So
helper T cells, really?
Yes, she was
not helper T's, T killers.
Oh, T killer cells.
Killers.
She was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia when she was 3 months old. The conventional treatment of chemo and bone marrow transplants was tried, and that didn't work. No surprise, really. In children that young, their bodies are pretty much remaking themselves on a daily basis. The doctors told the parents there was nothing more that they could do, but the parents were very insistent to try and save their little girl, obviously. There was a doctor called Wasim Kasim. That's really fun to say. The doctors contacted Wasim Kasim from University College London, who had been developing a gene therapy involving modified donor T cells. So those are the killers, you know, the killer cells.
No.
Yeah. What they did was they edited the donor T cell with a addition. This was for it to target the CD19 antigen. And that's something that has been done before. And for the first time in this context, they did a gene deletion. They disabled the gene that would make the donor cell identify the recipient's cells as non-self and cause it to attack them. And the other normal problem would be that the patient's immune cells would destroy the donor T cells. But for leukemia patients, they are already on medication to wipe out their immune systems. However, one of these medications is an antibody that looks for T cells, like the donor cells. So a second gene was disabled in the donor cell to make it invisible to the antibody. With this much editing, it would look for the cancer, be invisible to the medication and the patient's immune system, and only look for the cancer. So this is some very, very precise editing that they did.
At this point, they had only been tested in mice, but because it seemed to be working so well, they gave approval to give it to Layla, the little girl. 3 months later, the cancer was gone and she was in remission. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, they won't know for another year or two if it's an actual cure, but so far, so good.
Yeah, and for a patient that young, you know, every day is awesome, right? So if they give her an extra couple of years, that is going to be amazing.
All right. And we're going to take another break, and then we will be back with politics and religion.
As a listener of the show, I'm going to assume you love my sexy vocal stylings. If you love the rest of the show as much as my voice, consider giving us the resources we desperately need to purchase quality cocaine and Red Bull. We make it super easy to make a one-time donation or to support us on a per-episode, monthly, or even annual basis using PayPal or Patreon. Find out more at atheistnomads.com. Use the links on the right side of the page. $1 an episode is all we ask.
All right, Lauren's headache's coming back, so she isn't going to be with us for the rest of the show.
Oh, shit. Okay.
All right, first off, we have an update on Coach Joe Kennedy. Wesley, do you want to take this one?
Okay, so, goodness, yes. Assistant Coach Joe Kennedy is now suspended, and he has been for, well, a while now. This is awesome news, first of all. And go figure, you know, it only took Joe and our lovely friends over at the Seattle Satanists to help teach, you know, Christians separation of church and state. I've actually met some really great people, and I think I might actually be a Satanist now, so I don't know if I'm actually supposed to be on the show anymore.
But
I got officially welcomed. That's kind of cool.
Oh.
Yeah. So, Littlest Star and friend of the show, Paul Case. Definitely. Some amazing people over from the Seattle Satanic Temple. They set up a meet and came to one of the last games. And boy, oh boy, was that a interesting night. holy shit. Yeah. So I actually led them up to the field, up to the ticket box where, they weren't actually allowed in, but, it got crazy. Of course, lots of people were watching along the fence as, you know, we were all walking up there, and it was weird how crazy the kids got. I don't know. It just seemed like a very large group think, just this weird amalgam of kids that were just like shaking the fence and shouting and Jesusing. And it was actually kind of scary. I mean, you know, granted, most of them are like 4 foot tall or something. They're like tiny kids. And I'm sure I could have taken like 5 or 6 down before they took me out. But, you know, I don't want to be the one kicking a 4 foot tall kid, because, yeah, whatever. Anyways. it was actually a little scary, and some of the members that were there were actually a little taken aback by the reaction that they got. Thankfully Joe was never let on the field, even though he did pray at the bottom of the stands, and all of us got out of there safely. The cops were actually, the only thing they did was keep people from going in or out of the gate. That's what I'm told, but I never actually saw them. Some of the kids that were trying to get out to meet the Satanists were actually attacked by other students. A couple of them threw rocks. Some of them threw water bottles at the kids.
Holy crap.
And, it was, you know, this is what I'm hearing later and watching later, because video was taken of this. So yeah, it was weird just to think of all the shit that was going on. But like I said, I didn't see a police presence out there. I just later heard that, you know, people weren't being allowed in or out. But so I see this massive, you know, 60, 70 plus kids, I suppose, that are just, you know, causing a ruckus, really. It was a little weird, a little otherworldly, I suppose. I didn't expect something like that from my town.
Wow.
Joe has been suspended. So far as I know, he is still thinking about suing the school district with help from a attorney/PR firm out of Texas. And yeah, goodness. He just was on a Bill O'Reilly show a couple days ago too. It went poorly, really. I mean, the guy.
So is this going to be another case of somebody getting fired for refusing to do their job right and then making buco bucks on the conservative talk circuit?
I don't know if he is, but I know that there's a lot of people that will make a lot of money off of this. The way I understand it, he gets a stipend like the other coaches do, so it's really not that much money compared to what he earns at his regular job.
Ah.
So, you know, yeah, this really doesn't affect his lifestyle one way or the other. So there's no GoFundMe yet, no cakes or pies or photography kind of look-alike thing yet, but who knows, there might be pretty soon.
All right.
Man. Yeah, well, so I weep for my town a bit. In a couple days, on Thursday the 12th, me and quite a few other people are going to speak at the Bremerton School District. And we're going to give a quick one-liner about, you know, we need a good definite, we need a coach in there that isn't going to do this. you know, if it's him, great. If it's not, great too. But our main points are going to focus on secular education, anti-bullying campaigns, and to, you know, make everybody feel safe as much as possible and get a fucking good education.
Yeah, that's important. Yeah, well, keep us up to date on what happens with this story.
Okie dokie.
It's kind of unique for us to have a, one of us to have a personal in on a story.
Yeah, yeah, totally. If you want some fun, Google up Coach Joe Kennedy Wesley Bonetti. you'll get way too much shit. That's what I got.
All right.
All right.
And for another update, surprise, surprise, Opal Covey lost for the fifth time running for Toledo mayor.
No, now, she didn't. She won.
Well, she thinks she didn't, even though she came in last place. But let's listen to her response to the election results. And I edited this a lot, including the part where she speaks in tongues to get confirmation on a question about sports. So just have the more important thing she said.
Last night election, I actually won again, but the votes were stolen. Matter of fact, they weren't even stolen. I'm going to be mayor. But this was another attack from the devil to stop me. I've already had four big attacks, but I stand firm just like Moses did, and we're going to win. And I'm here to tell them on my last remarks, you're not going to defeat God. I'm going to stay here until it happens, and I'm going to be your mayor, whether you like it or not, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I have been sent by God Almighty, and his word has told me that I'm going to be mayor, going to set these captives free. We're going to have a nice city, and we're going to have a prosperous city, and we're not going to go down like you have taken us down all of these years, thus saith the Lord.
What the fuck captives is she talking about?
They're captives of the Democrats.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Captives of the Democrats. She thinks she's Moses.
Well, she's comparing herself to Moses.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's going to be mayor, whether people like it or not. That's scary.
That's scary. You know, sure, she came in dead last. I think I made this point last time we talked about her. Some people still voted for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are some people that need to be put on a watch list or some shit.
Yeah, she came in dead last with 494 votes.
Holy shit, she over doubled her last time's. Wow.
Yeah, that's nuts. And speaking of nuts, ooh, Ben Carson is now pulling ahead of Donald Trump in most polls for the GOP presidential nomination. He's also gotten a lot of flack lately from the media, unearthing some of his claims. These include, he's a creationist and believes that evolution is a deception from the devil. That's just part of being a good Adventist. He believes the pyramids in Egypt were built at Joseph's command to store grain, which he first espoused that publicly at the commencement address at Andrews University, home of the Seventh-day Adventist Theological Seminary.
Yeah, that was years ago, wasn't it?
That was 1998.
Fuck.
He claimed to have been offered a full-ride scholarship to West Point.
Which doesn't charge. They actually pay you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so a full-ride scholarship doesn't make sense at all in that context. And they also have no record of him ever applying.
Oh, nice. I didn't even hear about that part.
Yeah, yeah. And, oh, man, I saw another thing today with some of the crazy stuff that he has said. What I thought was the funniest was his claim that none of the signers of the Declaration of Independence had ever been elected to public office.
Okay.
Most of them were members of their colonial assemblies, and whether they were elected to the assembly or not, they were sent, you know, selected by those assemblies to go to the Continental Congress. So that's just a straight up weird thing to say. Really weird thing to say. And anyway, he's now going on the offensive. Here is some of the audio, and I did have to cut this down for length as well. He got kind of repetitive at times.
You just told me that you got a scholarship offer. You just said that.
No, she said that I got a scholarship. I never said I got a scholarship. I do not remember this level of scrutiny for one President Barack Obama when he was running. In fact, I remember just the opposite. I remember people just, oh, well, we won't really talk about that. We won't talk about that relationship. Well, Frank Marshall Davis, well, we don't want to talk about that. Bernadine Dorn, Bill Ayers, you know, he didn't really know him. You know, all the things that Jeremiah Wright was saying, not a big problem. Goes to Occidental College, doesn't do all that well, and somehow ends up at Columbia University. Well, I don't know. His records are sealed. Why is his record sealed? Why are you guys not interested in why his records are sealed? Now, you're saying that something that happened with the words, a scholarship was offered, is a big deal, but the President of the United States, his academic records being sealed is not. Tell me how there's equivalency there.
Right.
He's insane.
So, I mean, nobody talked about Jeremiah Wright. Bullshit. Everybody talked about Jeremiah Wright for like a week.
Yeah.
Just like every topic. And who can forget the fucking birth certificate, the birthers? I mean, that shit went on for years. It's still going on.
Yeah. All of these things that conspiracy theories, they all got a lot of attention in the media and they all died because they were non-issues.
Non-issues and not true.
Mm-hmm.
From what I remember.
Whereas the case with Ben Carson, this is stuff in print, stuff there is video of him saying it. These are things that he still claims to be facts. And
he claimed that the pyramids were hermetically sealed, that they were so perfectly airtight, nothing was getting in or out, which of course made them great grain silos.
Uh-huh.
Hermetically fucking sealed.
He has demonstrated that he has no concept of reality. And holy crap, what the hell is wrong with the Republican Party right now? How can he be polling at the top? This is absolutely insane. I would actually say this is more insane than Donald Trump polling at the top. What the fuck?
I don't know. I think it's just another perspective on crazy. I mean, yeah. Ben's just talking himself up and belittling the president, whereas Trump just, you know, says bunches of racist and sexist things.
Trump says a lot of, racist, sexist, and otherwise just bad things to say.
Yeah.
Ben Carson says a whole lot of things that are just straight up factually wrong.
And stupid. I mean, so easy to fact check.
It's definitely looking like he is a pathological liar. That's not somebody you want in a high it's not somebody you want in any public office, let alone president. Ah, god damn. And sticking with Adventists, the North American division of the SDA Church has approved a new statement in their year-end meeting that finally acknowledges that sexual orientation is not a choice.
Yay.
This was informed by science. This is important since Adventists were among the first to push ex-gay therapy.
Ooh.
To maintain the condemnation and put it in theological language, they say that same-sex attraction is a byproduct of our fallen human nature. They reiterated that they believe that the only appropriate place for sex is with the confines of a marriage between one man and one woman, and that gay, lesbian, and bisexual church members may serve in leadership roles or be employed by the church, as long as they do not engage in any, and I quote, same-sex practice. In other words, gay men and lesbians must be celibate, and bisexuals must marry someone of the opposite sex. They direct that no church facilities or employees, including at Adventist colleges, may be used for any same-sex wedding or reception or any activities that promote any same-sex sexual activity, marriage, etc. They do, however, leave attendance of a same-sex wedding as a matter of personal conscience. They also advise hospitals to basically do as little as they can legally get away with in accommodating gays and lesbians and their legal right to get married. And believe it or not, this is progress.
Well, I guess that's a good, it's a start, but
it's a little bit of progress. They went an inch.
So welcome to the 1990s, the early 90s.
And this is also a, it's basically a policy statement on how to handle, you know, running congregations, like selecting people for office, and how to run church business. It is not a statement of belief or doctrine. It is figuring out the best way they could to apply that doctrine. So it's interesting to see, and whether or not they will actually make any further progress. And not to be outdone, the Mormon Church has updated their handbook's list of acts of apostasy to include same-sex marriage. This mandates church disciplinary action up to excommunication. Additionally, they have made it so that children of same-sex couples cannot go through any of the church ordinances, such as naming or baptism, or hold membership in the church. But they can join at the age of 18 if they've moved out of their parents' home and they disavow same-sex relationships. In other words, if they say their parents are horrible, sinful people, then they can join the church. Wow.
Oh, goodness.
Now, I definitely do think they need to do some tightening up of the whole naming practice. It's where babies get named in churches and put on the membership rolls. Actually, really, I think that just needs to be separated. Generally speaking, I don't really like the idea of, you know, government imposing anything on church membership, but you should only get put on the rolls when you're an adult and you're able to actually consent to it. Nobody should be able to have church membership until they're 18.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
And moving on to Canada.
Oh, hey.
Canada's new prime minister filled his 31-member cabinet with a balance of men and women. He was actually asked why he did this, and his response is pretty awesome.
It's
because it's
awesome.
2015.
Yeah, why not? And you know what? Every person in his cabinet deserves to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So
they were all.
It. Why not?
Every single one of them has been elected to parliament. They have all demonstrated they are perfectly capable of those cabinet roles. And
yeah,
so
even some of the men have demonstrated that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's also very awesome, half of the cabinet, 16 in total, opted for secular solemn affirmations as opposed to the more traditional oath ending with, so help me God.
Nice.
16 out of 31. That's a majority. Mm-hmm. That's pretty freaking awesome.
Yep, yep, yep.
Go Canada.
Yeah, eh?
And I think this is actually only the second time that we've had two stories that came from Canada in the same episode. Both good. So, yeah, go Canada. And for our last story, 11 senior members of the Church of Scientology are facing charges of fraud, extortion, running a criminal organization, violating privacy laws, and practicing illegal medicine. If they are convicted, Scientology could be banned.
If your book was listed as science fiction in the not-too-distant past, you might want to rethink it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if your book was fiction from 2,000 years ago, you might want to rethink it. But still, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
This is an asshat. I mean, it doesn't get any much more clearer than this. Come on now.
Scientology... Because, like, okay, I personally consider the Roman Catholic Church to be the world's largest criminal organization. The way that they handle child molesters and just shuffle them around the world to avoid prosecution. But it's an incidental part of the organization. They are a church that happens to do a lot of illegal stuff. Scientology seems to be a criminal organization that calls itself a church. That exists solely to extort money out of people. Well, okay, I guess that's not all that different than the prosperity gospel people. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens here. There is some precedents. France cracked down pretty hard on the Church of Scientology, going as far as possible without actually expelling the organization. Of course, if they were to ban it, they could just change the name and start up again. And now for feedback. Regarding, I guess we'll be starting recent and moving backwards. So regarding episode 119, from at PixieChixie36 on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
This episode of At Atheist Nomads will be hard to listen to. It'll bring up stuff from my life.
Yeah, hey. It brought up a lot of stuff from my life, too.
And then again, it was a great episode, but I did have to pause a few times to get my bearings mentally. Not surprising. That was an episode that more than any other was going to be likely to hit hard, but that's a big part of why we needed to do it.
Yeah, so you guys learned a lot of fucking dirt on me. I'll tell you what, I don't usually talk about that shit, so hooray or not, I don't know. Go be kind.
the whole point of it is normalizing it. And the more people are open about what they struggle with, the better it will be for everyone. So thank you for listening to that episode and powering through. Regarding episode 118 from at Gwen's Experience via Twitter, at Atheist Nomads, I lived in Toledo. People voted for her as a joke. This is Opal Covey. People voted for her as a joke in 2005. They actually put her on a TV debate that year. And then from Charles via email regarding episode 117, I know I'm running a couple weeks behind. I blame life. Something that I have come to realize, and my roommate who has known me since college at PUC, that's Pacific Union College, Adventist school on the West Coast, 25 years ago, is that SDA almost killed me. I suffer from depression, anxiety, panic, paranoia, and SPD. Religion in general and SDA in specific aggravated these conditions to a point that I was under watch for long periods of time. When I left the church and religion, I came off my meds and I am much more stable. Still weird as hell, surviving SDA with a high IQ, go figure. But I am now considered high functioning. So what was said is very much the case. I have/had family who are preachers, elders, speakers, writers, etc. And no, most of them don't talk to me. Wow.
Man. Yeah. Life sucks. I'm glad you're hanging in there, man.
It does. Fuck. And, you know, being a bit older than me, I heard enough stories about what would have been going on, or what was going on in the Adventist Church 25 years ago and earlier. And I don't know how anybody could have survived the Adventist Church of the 80s without severe psychological trauma.
Love
the hardcore legalism, the just how judgmental everybody was and everything was. It does not sound like a nice place. So I'm glad you made it through. It was definitely a bit of a nicer church by the time I got, by the time I was older, but still, conservative religion can definitely play on people's problems and cause cracks if they aren't there already. Anyway, if any of you want to get in touch with us, you can always email us at contact@atheistnomads.com. Call us at 541-203-0666. Hit us up on Twitter at Atheist Nomads or on Facebook, facebook.com/atheistnomads.
And please don't forget, on these lovely days leading up to Thanksgiving and the Christmas, to use our Amazon click-through, because you know what? It'll give us a couple bucks and we'll really appreciate it. And well, you'll be doing it good. Aww.
And we want to thank our new platinum sponsor, George.
Holy shit, George. George, George of the Jungle. Look out for that tree.
And I did finally update the sponsor supporter list on the website and in the show notes. That had gotten way out of date, and I am very sorry to everyone that I had missed.
Dude, thank you very much.
We did get thank yous in an episode, I believe, for everyone. If we didn't, I am sorry. But now it's all updated on the website. Next week, we'll be back with an interview.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.